A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with the man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. We celebrate this day the great solemnity of the Annunciation. Perhaps the greatest, certainly one of the greatest, feasts celebrating Mary. And in its own way, fitting within this Easter season, because a dimension of our Easter celebration is the commissioning, the mission of those to whom Jesus appeared to go forth to proclaim the gospel, to spread the good news. Here we have that story of salvation in its beginning with the angel Gabriel, who brings news. It could be considered good news or tough news. It's hard to know what really would have gone through the heart and mind of Mary with this strange messenger, a woman committed to virginity, already betrothed, and yet this message about conceiving. Certainly puzzling for her, but not just the fact that she would conceive, but what it says about her son, that his kingdom would last forever. At this point, she would have had no idea of the kind of kingdom, even the kind of message, even what the gospel that that son would preach might be. If we go to our first reading for this day, we have another outstanding text, in the context of which we need to place everything. There, Isaiah, that great chapter 7, verse 14, in which Isaiah says that this maiden, this woman, this virgin, will give birth, and the child's name will be Immanuel, Emmanuel. God is with you. The heart of the matter of the whole story of salvation, the revelation that Christ came to fulfill and give, is contained in that name. God is with you. God is with you personally. God is with us collectively. God is close at hand. Immanuel. God is with you. That closeness can also be consoling or challenging. Consoling to know that God is closer than we might ordinarily think. Even when we don't experience that closeness, even when we experience darkness or absence, God is there. God is with us. That is who God is, the one who is with us, embodied in that name. But that closeness also places demands upon us, and therefore it is challenging. It might not always break through as good news in the moment. If we come back to the gospel, clearly God was there, close to Mary. The Holy Spirit is about to bring this about. The Holy Spirit overshadows. The angel is there. She sees the messenger, Gabriel. Good news, yes, for us, but not totally for Mary herself, who will carry this tremendous burden, this challenge, throughout her life. How her son will be received, how he gets marginalized and alienated, how he dies. Yes, eventually the good news that we've been celebrating during this Easter season, Christ is risen. But we look back at the whole mystery with those eyes of the resurrection. But Mary lived out that mystery before Jesus was raised from the dead. That is why her response, ultimate response to the angel, is so important when she says, "Let it be done." Fiat. In other words, yes, God is close at hand. How consoling. Something more consoling there could hardly be. And yet, it calls forth our response, like that of Mary, "Let it be done. Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will," which is the response to the psalm this day. Here I am, let it be done. So God is close at hand, which is the consolation par excellence, Emmanuel, but also the challenge par excellence. Am I up to the challenge? Can I, like Mary on this occasion, or like Jesus in Gethsemane, am I ready to say, "Let it be done. Here I am, Lord. I surrender to your will." So we celebrate this great solemnity, but what it embodies for us is not only God's providential attentiveness to the universe and to ourselves, but also the challenge that we might, like Mary, be responsive to that closeness by embodying what God asks of us in our own mission in life.